Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 665 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today, January 9th, 2022. It is the last official day of regular season NFL football, in case you cared. And we are a video game podcast. We love talking video games. We love talking life. We talk about all kinds of things. And we can buy our own beer, which we take a little bit of pride in. We are on every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 3 p.m. Central Time Zone. Of course, I say every Sunday, with the exception of about one time a year, we might miss a beat, and that was just a couple weeks back. So we're in for the long haul now, ready for 2022. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. We also do an audio version, so if you can't catch us live, download the audio feed. All right. Now, to the business at hand. We have a fantastic group of fine gentlemen, the finest scholars that a dollar can buy. We have the nose picker, Robin Tate, spinning the decks with actual internet connection. I cannot believe you just stuck that in your mouth.
No, I don't. That's have an well, I have sort of a halfway house internet connection, but we'll get to that in a minute. Hi, everybody. I have to apologize quickly. Last week, I seemed to have drank a lot of wine on the show. In fact, a whole bottle. And then I had half a bottle before then and something else earlier in the day. And I realized that we'll get into this later on, maybe a bit. But after the show, I quickly went into a live stream on my mobile phone, which, thank God, the battery died halfway through. And I haven't watched that Twitch stream, but I don't think I really want to. Anyway, great to be back on the show. I'm drinking water this evening.
Bless you, Robin. Yes, it was funny because I didn't realize how much you were drinking until the empty bottle surfaced towards the latter part of the show. And then I was like, oh, Lord, now it all makes sense.
I didn't realize how much I was drinking until I stood up and my legs did not work. So.
Well, good to have you on, Robin. Sober or not, always a pleasure. And also on the show, the new... it's not the OC. Well, we'll get into this. I won't talk about the D&D podcast yet. We'll get into that, Phil. But Phil Olson on the podcast. Phil, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, both. Good to be here. Happy New Year.
Absolutely. Happy to be here as well. Happy to have you here. Happy to have Robin here. Missing in action today, Kim Woods, Pete the Ginger Balls Chin, as well as Mark Wright, all deciding to take an extra extended time away from the podcast, and that's okay. We've got the most important three people, as far as I'm concerned, this right now. We are absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah.
All right, well, we have a couple of birthdays. We should probably talk about this. We missed hardly Dan's birthday last week. We all wished him a happy birthday, but I did miss it on the show, so we certainly want to make sure he gets a birthday wish. We also want to wish David Biles a happy birthday. He's turning 76 on January 8th. So congratulations to him. And then Shelchin. I'm not sure. Shelchin?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. That's right. Pete's better half. She is turning 21 again forever. Forever 21. Happy birthday to Shell. And at this point, I think we should play something special for them.
Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Insert name here. Happy birthday to you!
Gentleman was not recognized.
Joey.
All right, perfect.
You like movies about gladiators?
I do like movies about gladiators. Hey, real quickly, shout out in the chat. We've got Lord, we've got Boomer. So hello to them, as well as anybody else in the chat. One of the themes of this podcast today is going to be predictions. Yes, everybody does predictions, but you know what? We're just part of the everyday. So, you know, we want to do our predictions for 2022. So think about that. If you guys in the chat have any predictions, put them up there and we will try and include them as we go into that section of the podcast. For now, we're going to talk some story time because we've got some stories to talk about.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right, so I'm going to go first because mine is pretty short and sweet. It has been a week of sick people in this house.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Yeah. And mine is short and sweet, but it's really sweet. Sugar-coated. Anyway.
Ooh, pineapple.
Yeah, pineapple, I'm telling you, man. Okay, so the flu has run rampant in the house. No COVID. We got the COVID test done for my son. He turned out negative, which is great. But, of course, the school, we sent him home after we got note from the doctor to say it was okay for him to go to school. But then school, of course, thought he was still contagious, so they sent him back home. So my son basically spent the entire week at home, which was great. Not so much, as it just makes work difficult when you have everybody homesick. My wife, I think, probably got the worst out of all of it, though. The flu, I think, hit her the hardest out of the three of us. So it was really kind of a low-key week for me. Really just some TV watching, football, Goliath. I finally finished up Goliath.
Wow, you done season four? Wow. So, okay.
Made it through it.
So did the first episode throw you for a six, did it?
Yeah, so I will say I really liked the first three episodes of Goliath. First three seasons of Goliath far more than I liked the fourth season. And the thing about the fourth season, it goes into this weird dream noir stuff that is always like at the beginning of the episode, at least – well, I should say for like the first four or five episodes, it seems like it kind of constantly comes back. But then the last couple episodes, I feel like maybe they righted the ship a little bit because those noir stuff only happened a couple times at the very beginning of each episode. But
I don't know. And I still can't work out whether he's dead or not. So I just don't.
Exactly.
Was he dead, or was he in a coma, or after being shot at the end of the last, you know, it was so weird. It's like a tangent, completely away from everything. Very odd.
I felt like it did not need to be in. It was just a very weird tangent, like you said.
Last week you'd mentioned about, you know, it was great that there was an ongoing story going through the three seasons. There was some characters,
right.
Like in the second and third season, there was the mayor of LA, the girl, and she then you thought there was going to be some conclusion with her because she was left alive and still around at the end of the third season, and you expected in the fourth season that to be addressed again, but there was no mention of her whatsoever. So odd, and very beautifully shot, gorgeous, beautiful, but weird.
Yeah. Weird is the right word for it. I liked the main story, if you will, of the final season. It was great. I think it could have completely done without all of the dream noir stuff. That was just, to me, unnecessary. Maybe one episode could have had it if they wanted to, but the continuation of it throughout every episode was just, again, unnecessary. Maybe it was a COVID thing. I don't know. I was really struggling with why they would have suddenly gone that direction, and that's all I could think of is maybe somehow COVID impacted their production capabilities, and so they thought, well, we can do this safely, so let's interject this into.
The writing was great in places, but I thought it was a little bit – there was so many loose ends and loose bits here and there, so not just as tight. But anyway –
But next on tap for me is the Boba Fett series. I'm going to start watching that on Disney Plus. I'm excited for that, only because I've been hearing some good things early on. But also, it's a weird one because they are releasing this out weekly, as unlike Netflix where they release all the episodes out.
I love the once a week thing. That's good.
I do. I like it because it does kind of It brings back the suspense of water cooler talking, you know?
Yeah.
You watch the episode, you get together, you have a chat about it.
There must be some stats there for marketing as well, that it extends the length of time that's in people's consciousness and talking.
Oh, gosh,
it does.
And also, Netflix are starting to release them weekly as well, shows.
Okay.
Because lots of people are setting up, you know, trial accounts or just paying 1 month and just binge watching and then not going back. So it didn't work out well for Netflix. So that's why they're extending it.
Okay. All right. I'm excited for that. And then I have continued to listen to my audiobooks, getting through. I'm about a good halfway through now the latest Expeditionary Force audiobook Fallout, and enjoying that very much. And also, by the way, I caught, and this is the last thing for me, but I caught just last night The Movies That Made Us, and watched the episode for Aliens and then watched the episode for Coming to America. I was actually surprised to see Coming to America was on that kind of list of movies they covered, but really fantastic. Well done. I really enjoyed that whole series. Whether it's The Toys That Made Us, The Movies That Made Us, but you know, they're always really entertaining. And so that's it. That's me. So, Phil, let's talk about getting old.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. I'm just struggling to see the screen. that's better. I can see now. So for those listening, I now have my first pair of glasses.
Really? Wow.
Yes. First ever pair of glasses.
Okay.
Mainly just for reading. But I'm finding they're supposed to be just for reading, say, a tablet or a phone, but I'm actually finding that they're helping me read the monitor as well. So, it's odd. You know, at the age of 48, I haven't done too badly. Get my first pair of glasses. So, not bad.
Not bad at all.
It's all right. You don't look completely odd in them. I mean, you could do well.
They look good.
You could do very stylish. Welding in those.
I did have to wait for someone else to make a decision on them. So they were pushing me to make a decision. I said, look, I'm not going to be seeing myself in them. So I had to wait for Lisa to finish her appointment so she could decide which ones were best.
At an eyeglass appointment?
Yes, yeah.
So did she have her eyeglasses on when she saw you?
Yes. Well, she doesn't need them to see me.
Oh, okay.
Right. So she tells me.
Just as well.
Got those. For the last month, I've been suffering from ear infections, which has been fun. I scratched the inside of my ear about a month ago, and then my left ear got really painful and gunked up.
Mm.
That started calming down. My right ear started, and now there's no pain, but it alternates with each ear gunking up, and it's my hearing's going and all sorts. So,
that's not great. Slippery slope.
Ears. Slippery, so it's all going downhill.
I will about 6 months back ish. I was using a Q-tip to clean out my ear, and I'm like, God, that really hurt. And I look down at the top of the Q-tip, and all of the fuzzy stuff is gone.
Yeah,
it was just the stick. Then I'm like, is the fuzzy stuff in my ear? Did I not pay attention, or did I just stick a stick in my ear?
On this podcast anymore? Fuckers.
Yeah.
Really? Old fuckers. Really?
I've had to go to hospital before now because of the Q-tip bud getting stuck in there.
In your ass. Oh,
it's my own. It's my own fault. But anyway, on lighter and more positive things, I suppose. You mentioned it earlier. The D&D show that we do is called OCD&D. And we haven't done a recorded for a while, but I thought 2022 really need to kickstart it. We've got a few other things in the pot as well. Need to really approach it well. And over Christmas, I received 5 messages over the period of the last month and a half saying, has anyone on the show got OCD? How do you get on with playing Dungeons and Dragons with OCD? Got any tips? And et cetera, et cetera. And I suddenly thought, And I know Robin's going to be banging his head on the desk on this. I suddenly thought, what turned out originally is I thought a funny and quippy thing about playing on the Overseas Connection, you know,
right.
Overseas Connection D&D, OCD and D. Yeah. And the only reason, I say the only reason, and I can say this in good company here, I've decided to change the show's name. Going forward with some of the things I've got plans for this year and next, I don't particularly want any controversy around podcasting. So I thought best I will rebrand and relaunch. We've got 35 shows that we've done, minimum of an hour long, some of them 3 hours long, that I'm going to need to re-edit with new titles.
I'm really disappointed. I actually thought you were going to do it with people with OCD playing games.
Here's the thing. We're going to lose half our listenership because all of those OCD people are now going to be like, where'd the podcast go?
Can you imagine you got one of those people on? Like, they would just keep on throwing the dice. They just wouldn't stop.
Now, in fairness, I feel like we did kind of fit the OCD part of it because if you think about it, how many times did we see Jadak try and jump a box?
Well,
exactly, he just kept at it, wouldn't stop, kept at it. So, you know,
yeah, and
that is pretty funny.
I'm seeing it as a positive. I'm seeing it as a
absolutely
way to relaunch and reinvigorate, and
okay,
yeah,
get me involved.
So the last week I've been working on new website. Wow. Moved to a different media host, so I've left Podbean.
Okay.
And moved to a site called Captivate, who are a British company. And they, for a couple of pounds more than you pay for Podbean, they allow you to host as many podcasts as you want.
Oh.
Yeah.
So okay. Podbean, if you want to host another podcast, you have to pay have to have a second account.
Right.
Again. This, you can have as many podcasts as you want. So I can do some experimenting and throw out some very short-term podcasts and
podcasts.
Get all the analytics and everything else. So,
okay.
Exciting times.
Yeah, Podbean drives me nuts. I mean, it's pretty automatic and straightforward, which I like. But every year, it never fails. When we renew, because I renew through my personal email, but the show is listed under the podcast email, inevitably they take my money and they say, you've renewed. And then I get about 3 days later a notification from them saying, we are going to cancel your account if you don't pay us within 2 days.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah. And so every year I end up having to contact customer support, go through the whole song and dance.
It's like trying to change your Google email address.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, so I'm not going to announce the new game just yet because there's a couple of things I need to get in place, but hopefully that will be over the next couple of weeks. So all good. And finally, watch a really good movie last night I'd like to recommend. It's a movie called The Dry. It's an Australian drama starring Eric Banner.
Oh. It's the Hulk.
Okay, the Hulk. Yeah, who is Australian? And it's about a policeman who goes back to the town, a sort of remote rural town in Australia, to a funeral of his old best friend and his wife, his best friend's wife and child. Is a murder suicide, and when he's there, he's asked by the family to have a look and investigate. It's very good. I have to say it's one of the better murder mystery thrillers I've seen in a while, actually. Okay. I think it's in the UK, it's on Sky, I think. Okay. Sky Movies. Right. I know it's on Now TV. Came out at the end of last year. Very good.
Does it beat Revenge of the Pink Panther? Because I watched it over Christmas time. And that was a priceless Steinway.
No one...
Not anymore, it isn't.
Yeah, there's no Kato jumping out of cupboards.
Mm. Mm. Phil, does it come with subtitles? Because I know they're speaking Australian.
Oh, fuck me. like this podcast for people from Northern Ireland.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure you can add subtitles for you.
That would be pretty funny. You have to admit. Come on. All right. Anything else, Phil?
No, that's it. Thanks.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing about the new name OCSNM when you're ready to announce that.
That's the other show. Right.
Okay. So I'm getting old too. I mentioned it beforehand. I had a bit of a disaster last week with internet. The weather killed my 4G. And the old system had a pipe straight into the house. And one of the little wonderful children accidentally pulled the RJ45 socket off a while back, and I had to go and rewire an RJ45, which is a network cable. Now, you probably never ever had to do this. Most people don't have to do it, but it has 8 tiny little wires inside it, and for old people, it's hard to do. Thankfully, I had all the kit, but it took me about 4 attempts, and I'd cut off pieces again to make it work. And of course, everything came up the next day, and I didn't need to do it. But great news, people! So Fibrous, I mentioned before, this company was coming along to give rural people out in the sticks fibre access. And they phoned the next day. Fabulous, I said. Fabulous in the car. It was wonderful. Is this a scam? Is this real? Is this Fibrous? Is this somebody trying to sell me a supplement to help me with my stomach ache? No, it was real fibre. Fibre coming to my house. And they're saying to me, they're ready to do it now. So the cable has been up at the top of my lane with a brand new post for about 6 months now. And it was supposed to be in before Christmas, but no, they missed that target. Anyway, they phoned me and they said, yes, we're ready to go ahead. Do you want to do this? I went, yes, what can you offer me? I went, well, most people go for package A. Tell me, what are your packages? Package A is 100 meg. And tell me, what is package B? It's 300 meg. And what is package C, good sir? Package C is our biggest one, sir, and very unlikely you're going to need it. It's 1 gigabyte, sir.
Go for door 3.
Door 3.
Give me it all.
Give it. I want the internet in a box with a little flashing light on top. I really do. And I'm unbelievably surprised at how much this 1 gigabyte with free installation. I've got good hardware here anyway. And they actually don't run copper from the house. We don't have a phone line here, I asked them. They actually, The lane from where I am now is probably 200, 300 feet. It's 100 meters away, 150 meters to the lane. So they're going to run a real piece of fiber cable down in that lane into my house, which is fab, however they want to do that. Right. So that should be a pretty solid. And it's going to cost me £59 per month, which I think is pretty darn good.
That's not bad.
Unlimited.
Hang on.
Yeah.
How much, what speed's that?
1 gigabyte. That's pretty good.
That's really good. Cheap. That's cheaper than Virgin providing, on a housing estate, providing 1 gigabyte to me. I think I pay £45 for 350.
And Phil, you're paying for my installation because it's probably the UK government is funding it. Yes. Yeah. So I pay.
Don't you feel better, Phil?
So right now I'm talking through a 4G SIM and a 4G modem because I don't have any decent, I don't have fibre or good broadband here. And that costs, I think it's £30. And I have another one in the house, which is £30. So they can be gone. So I'm wiping those two out and we'll. One more. Now, the only downside is at this stage I'm going to have to go back to the old system, which is the thing that I put the plug back on, the RJ45 plug. Thankfully, I've done that. Yay! And we'll go back to that again. So I've ordered some new hubs because the little hub that I have here is only a little 100 meg hub. So I've ordered new TP-Link 1 gigabyte or whatever they are. And one for there, one for the house. Upgraded. I bought some new RJ45 Cat7 cables for the different places in preparation. So hopefully, they say within like a week or so it should be ready to go. I don't believe it.
Really?
Yeah. They say, look, we will be in contact with you at the beginning of next week to organise installation. And within 3 to 5 days, you should have it installed. If it's within the next 3 weeks, I've waited so long, let them take their time.
Right.
So imagine 1 gigabyte? Yeah. You know, this transformed my life. This will be fabulous. I'll be able to do real porn, multiple cameras. So that was really good. Okay, just something that came to my head, Greg, when I was clearing away some holiday stuff and I came across some change. So around the Orlando area, you could pay lots of tolls, right? So there's tolls, lots of toll roads. And lots of people have this thing called Easy Pass. I have a pass thing in my car for when I'm traveling in the south of Ireland because there's lots of toll roads down there, which you zip through and it just registers, bing, and you don't have to pay. So in Orlando, a lot of the places are you can have a cash window or you have a window to throw some money in, like a little basket, or you have your Easy Pay system. Now, some of the minor, if you come off at a minor road, it'll be correct change or Easy Pass sort of thing. Now, one of the days that we were there, we had went through this stretch of road, maybe 15 miles long, and it had at least three toll stops in it. And the branch that we came off, it was the day we were going karting, it was the branch we came off, we'd used all our change. And we came down to the thing, and it was either Easy Pass or the basket. So we sat there, Charlie and Joshua and I in the car, went, we have no money, what do we do? Because if we drive on through here, it's a rental car, and the bill will be sent to Hertz, and instead of it being 175, it'll be 30 quid. A few of those bills have just arrived in over the last day or two anyway.
I was just going to say, that's how it's going to work out for you.
So we didn't. And I go, what do we do? What do we do? Do I just do that? And we sat there for a few minutes, and I had the window down, and I looked out, and there was money scattered all over the floor where people had missed the basket. So I got out of the car and scooped up about $2.
And Robin now wanted for theft in Florida.
Anyway, it just came to me. It was funny. Speaking of America, Judith, don't tell Judith. This year, in June, Frank, don't forget that, it's her 50th birthday. She will be 50 this year. A friend of hers last year also came 50, and she had her birthday all the month of June. It just continued. Every week there was something to celebrate her birthday. I'm going to do the whole year. So her birthday starts on it's the 27th Impressive. Of this month, and it's going to be something on the 27th of each month. So I've organized my brother's coming over. We went over for my 50th to London. We're going to a nice restaurant. That's happening in June. It's also our 25th wedding anniversary this year in April, and that's on the 25th. So I have, for all of the hassle going to America and coming back, I have booked a long weekend in New York for our wedding anniversary. She doesn't know yet. I'm going to tell her this 27th in January. So that'll be revealed for then. And we're going to do something each time. So we're off to New York. The flights, direct flights, just the two of us, no kids. Fantastic. And Gary DeFelici, if you're not at the dentist, I may grab you for a brunch or a breakfast or a beer or something like that there. So I'll be in touch with you, mate, if you're listening. I'm going to be in New York around the end of April, which should be nice, sort of springtime in there, and hopefully they'll get themselves together and we'll just stay. I want to do the...
Don't hold your breath.
I know.
But yeah.
I know. You might have to hold your breath. That might be the thing.
Yeah, true. That's the next stage.
Okay, I also quickly mentioned that I bought a Ring alarm system because I couldn't get anybody to fix the system here for years now. And we've been went, it's crazy, absolutely crazy that we had no way of alarm. So just before Christmas, there was a deal. I bought the starter kit of the Ring sensors and door sensors and the alarm panel and bits and pieces. And when I came back from holidays there, I spent a couple of hours really, just putting them all up. Fantastic.
I can ask a question, Robin. Yeah. Do you really have, because I've been out to your house. Yes. I know how it is more remote than it living in a suburb or a city.
Yeah.
So do you really have a problem with theft and house break-ins out your way?
Chickens.
The chickens are gone.
Well, you should set the Ring alarm up on the hen house for sure.
No, but it does come in fits and starts. So
okay.
I don't want to knock the community, but itinerant gypsy Roma people would sometimes cruise the area. And if I was a criminal and I wanted to make a living out of this, I wouldn't be robbing people in the city. I would be coming out to here where doors are unlocked and garages are full of goodies and people think they're secure. So it hasn't happened to us, but every now and again, there's a little spite of it, or we see a car and my neighbor has a gun and we have chased a few of them people away that were hanging around suspiciously. So and you know what, if people really want to come in, they'll come in. It's peace of mind, you know. They won't give a shit about alarm going off if they know exactly. I don't let people into this room here that often. strangers, right. stuff like that there, you know.
Stranger danger.
Yeah. Anyway, so that system went in so easily. The Ring system is wireless. You can wire it. You can power to all of your little sensors and door sensors. But it does come with Duracell batteries, and the batteries on most of the sensors last a couple of years. So I went with that route. I cut off my old sensors, replaced those. And the first setup went so well, I went and bought a whole pile more sensors, and all the door sensors are needed, and the outside ring bell as well, which I put up yesterday. And I have a big set of aluminium ladders, which are like double, you know, so I put it above our bedroom window. I think I put a photograph up, but it was like the ladders to full height, me with a power drill drilling four holes in way high. Way for a builder, not a problem. For me, we remember that old thing, the panic. I'm up there. So my father used to make me stand at the bottom of a ladder when he was way up to do things, and I hated it because it was boring, and I had to stand at the bottom of the ladder right. for safety. Yeah. And I got Charlie out of bed to do that yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah, full nice. Circle. So I'm up there circle. Drilling. Yep. And I got my, so I've got it in. It's fab. The only thing, the only thing that's done now is I wish the Nest and Ring would come together, because the majority yeah. of my cameras, I have one, there's one camera came with the Ring, and I have it in the one area that I don't, which is over to the over past the West Wing, is going out into that garden over there. But most of my cameras have four Ring.
Right.
The other one, Nest. I have four Nest cameras outside, and now one Ring and a few Tapos. It's okay, I don't mind, but it would be nice if they were all integrated, but I'm not going to, that's it. But I'm very, very impressed with the how simple, it's the Apple, it's the Xbox Series X setup of alarm systems. It is so...
And they are. Really? Ring as a company, from a customer service point of view, I've got a couple of the Ring chimes, so okay. the plug-in door chimes for around the house and the garden and stuff. And... we hadn't used one of them been in a box for a couple of years. It was about 4 years old, and I just couldn't get it to work. So I rang customer services, and they talked me through and everything. They sent me a voucher when they realized it wasn't working for a brand new Chime Pro, which cool. is the top of the range one.
Brilliant.
And sent me a voucher there and then, ordered it, arrived the next day, all for free.
Well, I'll maybe...
And this is a four-year-old.
Oh, yeah. And the same thing happened to me with my Nest thermostats, where I said, look, there was a problem, and it turns out there wasn't. And I've got two brand-new Nest thermostats sitting in there, the things I bought 4 or 5 years ago. So, you know, top of the line, top kit and top service. Yes, a bit more expensive. Actually, I don't think... You know, I've spent probably about 500 quid on this alarm now. So the initial thing was 155 quid for the initial starter kit. Yeah. And then I bought another, I think it was 10 sensors... the ones in the corner of the room, and another four little door sensors, and the outside bell. And 500.
Now, do you have to subscribe to a service?
No, it's £10. It's $10 a month or £10 a month, which isn't that much. You don't have to, and it will still notify you when the alarm goes off. But if the £10 is monitored, and they will phone the police and stuff like that there, if need be.
And also it keeps the history as well. So it stores all the recordings.
So the history is part of that service. Yeah, I'm in the trial.
So you could.
I won't get that there if I don't.
Yeah. I think the history part is only about £3 a month. Okay. I paid about £3.50 a month.
Like a tenner a month is really nothing for a monitored alarm system.
It allows me to go, you know, if someone, say, DPD or UPS have said they've delivered a parcel, I can go back and actually go to that time and say, well, actually, haven't you, fucker?
Yeah, because I pay, I think it's a fiver with the Nest thing for that history there as well, which is really good and really handy for that. So, look, the alarm broke here several years ago. I've phoned three alarm companies. Yes, we'll come out, sir. We'll get you sorted. I want to put a new one in, whatever you have to do. Nobody's came near me. So I've done it myself now, and I'm impressed. What else? Oh, yeah. I bought two things. I have to collect them this week. I have bought a boxed mint condition PS1. So that's just for the collection. Just in there. PS1.
Okay.
Not the value pack, the original yellow box. So that's
very nice.
And I've also bought this weird little knockoff device. And it's called a Mini Poly 2000. And it looks like a PlayStation 1. It is tiny. It has a lift-up lid. In the lift-up lid, there is a Tetris-style games. And it has a PS1-style controller. Pure another knockoff. But it's just an interesting little console that I'm to have for the collection here. And finally then, for me, the last two little bits, I went to see Spider-Man yesterday. There is some links there with Boba Fett, director, writer, or something. The style, producer, writer, art director of The Mandalorian and Boba Fett. Okay. Had stuff to do with the Spider-Man No Way Home. Very good.
I've heard good things about it.
Good.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be good. Very good. And I'm not going to spoil it for people because there are some lovely surprises in it. Nice. I'm not even going to talk about what those type of surprises are, but really, really nice surprises from the beginning. I'll spoil one. I will spoil one. If you don't want any spoilers about Spider-Man whatsoever, just switch off.
10 seconds.
Do that after 10 seconds. Yeah. they get into a bit of trouble at the beginning, and they need a lawyer, and the lawyer is Daredevil. And a little cameo.
Which is
kind of cool. Daredevil character, which he's not dressed up as Daredevil, he's in a suit.
You have spoiled that for me now.
I'm sorry about that. Dom dies. So that's very good. Spider-Man, it's two
Dom
and a half.
Dom dies.
It's two and a, it is 2.5 hours long. It's quite long. Judith took Jasmine to see Clifford and the Big Red Dog at the same time. It was only an hour and a half long.
Nothing is long now that I've seen the James Bond movie.
Yeah. And finally, miniseries, 6 episodes long. It's on BBC. It's probably on other stuff in America. It's set in Australia, Phil. And it has the same actor from Northern Ireland, Jamie Dorn. From Northern Ireland. It's called The Tourist. And it's about Jimmy Dorn's character out in outback in Australia has a car accident and wakes up in the hospital without lost his memory. Okay.
Does this also come with subtitles?
Maybe. Anyway, it's about him working out who he is in the outback in Australia, and his past is weird and wonderful. He's not a normal person, but it's very, very good. It's intense. It's funny. It's heartwarming, and it's very good. Very good. So I would very, very much recommend The Tourist.
That's on our list. That's on our list for this week to watch.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Right. You'll enjoy that. Okay, so that's about me. Just off to work, off to Dublin tomorrow. And, this week was a bit worky and not really.
A bit worky. Is that the technical term for it?
Just a bit worky. This week, the real workiness starts. This week was just a bit, let's get to it. Everybody's off with Wu Flu. But then again, they're trying to say Wu Flu isn't really a thing anymore or something. I don't know anymore.
It's an ever-changing target. By the way, out of my walking boot now officially. I'm, no cast anymore. No crutches.
We don't care.
And then a surprise gift. This came after.
I'm joking.
After Christmas, but a Monopoly Godzilla edition.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was a self. That was like a Greg DeLacy self-portrait
edition.
It
was a selfie. Yes. That was my high school picture.
So what's the difference?
It's got Godzilla, King Ghidorah, Mothra, Mini-La, which I didn't realize it was Mini-La. Mechagodzilla and Rodan are the different figures you can have going around the board.
You don't need to chew up the streets.
No Godzuki. Okay.
Yeah.
Godzuki is mini. It's Minilla, but that's Godzuki.
What was that? That was Saturday morning cartoon heaven, wasn't it? Yeah, Godzilla and Godzuki.
Love Godzilla.
And he was a cute one, wasn't he?
He would he couldn't breathe fire, but he would breathe the ring of smoke that apparently incapacitated people. Yeah. Or monsters.
TV at its best.
Anyway. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Anyway. All right. Hey,
that's good. Your foot is fine and you're okay again.
Foot is beautiful.
I wouldn't say that.
So the funny thing is they wanted me to go back for an X-ray.
Fucking hobbit feet. Christ. The spa, the spa thing, thank God.
Not too hairy. Anyway, so my doctor wanted me to go back for an x-ray.
Yes.
And, you know, in the U.S., you know, our health insurance, we pay for it. We have deductibles for everything. And, you know, I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, if my leg feels fine, I'm walking on it, there's no pain, why do I need to go back for an x-ray? What are you going to tell me? All you're going to do is you're going to charge me some money to go in and get an x-ray, and it's going to say, oh, it looks fine. And even sensible. If it doesn't look fine,
sensible.
What you're, you know, the alternative is, oh, it didn't go back together properly, so we want to do surgery, which is completely not what I want. So either way, I'm good. So yeah, back to the gym in full force. And yeah, don't break your leg over the holidays. That's my advice to everybody. Okay, let's talk video games.
Said if you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right.
All right, real quickly before we get into the games that we've been playing, I'm gonna go through the list Kim so kindly updated for us. Games with gold in January. You've got Neurovoider available January 1st through the 31st. I don't know any of these games for the record, with the exception of the last one. Aground is available from the 16th of January through the February 15th. We've got Radiant Silver Gun available January 1st through the 15th. And then Space Invaders Infinity Gene, that will be available January 16th through the 31st. PS Plus, Persona 5 Strikers, Dirt 5, and Deep Rock Galactic. So some nice games there for PlayStation Plus members. Twitch Prime games for January. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Great game. Total War Warhammer. World War Z Beyond. WRC 7. FIA World Rally Championship. Fahrenheit Indigo, The Remastered Prophecy. Two Point Hospital. Abandoned Ship. In Other Waters and Paper Beast for Folded Version. Stadia Pro, it is still a thing, apparently. Darksiders 3, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, Shantae Risky Revenge Director's Cut, The Dark Side Detective, A Fumble in the Dark. I know Robin's already doing this, and I'm just going to read them off as Robin's written them. DreamWorks Dragons, Dawn of New Riders. And then finally, Epic Game Store for the first week of January, although I guess it's too late now, so forget it. You don't need to know those because you've already missed out on that deal. And anyway, those are the games that you pay for that you get for free.
You can't get God's Will Fart anymore then?
Nope, you cannot get God's Will Fart anymore, Robin. I'm sorry.
Damn it.
All right, let's talk about what we've been playing. Phil.
Joey.
Let's start off with you.
Did you ever hang around the gymnasium?
Okay, so this week I've been dipping into a few different ones. The first one, Halo Infinite, finally started the campaign of that. Really, really enjoying it. It's just classic Halo. Works really well on my One X. No problems at all. Looks fantastic, sounds fantastic, and plays really well. Enjoying the new format as well. So running around a open world map and taking out various different, scouring the map. I can see myself 100% in this.
I'm a bit miffed
concerned.
With it.
Yeah.
As I'm playing this too, Phil, I'm a bit miffed. So I came out today to play start the campaign. And I came the other night to set the download, which was 60 gig. So I came in to sit down to play the campaign today. And, do you want to download the campaign? It didn't download the campaign. It downloaded the multiplayer. You have to separately click and select the... Why the hell did it do that?
Yeah, it's following the Call of Duty, isn't it? The Modern Warfare Warzone. You had to do that with Warzone as well.
I had the same problem, Robin. And it was a bit frustrating because the smart delivery system didn't seem so smart this go-round.
Yeah.
Because... The single player is its own like DLC as opposed to just the main game. Yeah. And they make you download all of it.
It won't be an issue in a week or two, but right now that's a whole most of the day for me. So
yeah,
an extra 30 gig.
Well, since we're talking about it, Robin, what are your impressions, or have you played it yet?
I played a few rounds of multiplayer, and then I went on and played with some bots in multiplayer, and then I played the first tutorial, and I changed my skins and different bits and pieces and unlocked a whole rake of little 5G achievements. Whether it was my connection was odd, it seemed the bots server, it seemed quite laggy to me. It was quite odd, quite choppy, which I find strange. Like, even the bots were on a server. I'm not sure. I suppose the tutorial was the closest thing that I would have to the campaign, because you were running around in different bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And it looks really smart. I get what Pete's saying. It is quite clinical. You know, there is a clinical thing that everything is neat and tidy and there's no dirt lying around the place in a spaceship-y thing. But looking at some of the vehicles and the detail, like the Mongoose especially, has to be. We look at the detail. I've never remembered the detail on the cars and the tires and the wheels like that ever before. And, you know, even on what's on the screen now, some of the foliage and the it looks fab. It does. So, yeah. But I am looking forward, if the campaign quality of the cutscenes and the way I'm running around and interacting with things is anywhere near as good as that tutorial, I'm thoroughly looking forward to playing it this week. So,
yeah, it is. And the vehicles are damageable as well. So you can blow a tire out, and you can actually see if a vehicle's damaged as well, where it's damaged, to target those places. So it's Halo. So, I mean,
yeah. I will say the one thing, I didn't have this on my list, but I did play a little bit of Halo as well. I do find myself getting sidetracked with just exploring stupid shit. And the grapple hook is a great addition to Halo, but it makes me start to do the stuff I used to do with Skyrim, which is, oh, there's a mountain. Let me see how high.
Can I get up there?
There's a building. Yeah. Let me try and get up to the top of it. So I find myself getting a little sidetracked with that stuff, so I haven't focused in on the campaign as much. But I made a conscious choice now after my last session that, no, I'm going to try and just power on for the campaign. I'll still do some of the side quests here and there, but I'm just going to keep myself a little more focused and try and get through it.
Battle pass is going to be a big part of this then, is it? Like, you have to unlock stuff and...
Oh, the battle pass, it's on the multiplayer side. The good news about the way they've handled the battle pass, so in other games, battle passes are like, they're seasonal, right? And you have to, you buy a battle pass and you have to kind of put yourself to that battle pass before it expires.
Yep.
In Halo Infinite, if you buy a battle pass, it's there for
It's coinage, and you can
you could grind on it whenever you want, and it's not going to have a time limit.
Yeah.
So, also, side note to the multiplayer side of it, they brought back the playlist Fiesta. If you haven't played Fiesta, play it. It is fantastic fun, because basically every time you respawn, they give you new sets of weapons. And it could be anything from the power weapons to the crappiest weapons, but it just, to me, it adds a fun element to the multiplayer.
Okay. And that's what I've been playing as well this week, is Fiesta. Also, big team battles are working again. Quite a few issues early on with connectivity, and that seems to be working. Has a couple of dropouts when it was trying to make it, trying to create a game. But again, that's really good. I think it's still maybe smaller battles, and I don't know whether that's because I'm on a 1X, but you're in fire teams of four, and it seems to be almost a maximum of 16 players. So
on big team
so far. Yeah.
I know that's a lower count than what they had on the Series X, but I don't know. I have not been paying attention to any like updates they may have done recently. I know, like with Battlefield, they definitely had a different player count, and they didn't have crossplay. So I'm wondering if that might be the case for this. I just don't know.
It could be. I know they're having issues with the number of players, so maybe they're just reintroducing lower levels first.
What do you think? Should we? I mean. I would love to do some multiplayer with people, like a wedding, like yes. maybe a like Wednesday night at UK 9 or 10 o'clock for an hour minimum.
I think we can make that work.
We could have Wednesday evenings. So yeah. we should try that. Do a 10 o'clock for 1 hour for me, sort of thing would be okay, or 9 o'clock for 2 hours, whatever you want to do. But if I'm going to do it, nine p.m.
Let's work something out.
Wednesday, UK. Yeah. Okay, Halo and some Halo multiplayer, and let's see how we get on with it. So if people are interested, this Wednesday coming, Wednesday 9 o'clock, and we'll be playing Halo, and we'll leave a lobby open for 5 minutes or so, and then you can jump on in or ping us through WhatsApp or whatever you want to do and join in. And if you're not on our friends list, ask and we'll get you in. So there, that's that. That's the thing. Wednesday night, Halo night.
Phil, I also see on your playlist here that you actually have the best ever made Aliens game.
Well, I'd heard you guys talking about it, and I couldn't believe that it was the best Aliens game ever.
Well, it's okay. I will say this: it's not better than Alien Isolation. Alien Isolation, to me, is the best Alien game ever made. It is by far better than Aliens Colonial Marine.
You see, I'm one of the weird ones.
I know
I actually
you are.
Really
I know.
Enjoyed Colonial Marines. But Fireteam Elite. So I loaded this up today and played the first mission. It's, I think, with people that you know, I think it'd be really good and good fun.
Yeah,
a lot of shouting and screaming probably.
Just as well as on mute.
You know, there was, you know, when you get that first ping on the radar before they turn up, and I played as a gunner, I think it was, which seems to be the normal grunt, and really enjoyed it. You know, third person.
Yeah, that's good.
Running around, killing aliens.
We haven't given enough time. Really haven't.
Man down. Yeah, man down. You know, being revived by your teammates. Yeah, it's it looks promising.
It's Aliens Back for Blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I very much enjoyed it. I will say we had a hoot with Robin because Mark and I kind of knew what to expect. And Robin was just gung-ho, like running down the corridors. And Mark and I would just sit back, let him go. Let him go.
That's what I did today. I just ran down the corridors thinking, I'll get through this fast.
Yeah.
But the addition of things like the turrets, you know, throwing up a wall of turrets is really good.
Yeah.
Good fun, and still doesn't stop them coming, which is great. You know, that balance is there that, you know, the turrets, I had three turrets, or our team had three turrets running, and still the waves still came over. Killed a good 50% of them. Or slow them down, but they still came over, and then you get the boss sort of levels as well.
Yeah,
good fun.
All right, awesome. What else?
So the next one.
Tell me about this, please.
As you probably know, I said before, I pay for my Game Pass by getting Microsoft Rewards, and some of those you get 50 points or various things. There's a January piece for achievements. And it's getting quick achievements. And so I thought, Deer Simulator, spelled D-E-E-E-E-R Simulator.
Oh, dear.
Now, I play Goat Simulator a fair bit, and I knew nothing about this going in. It is the weirdest game I've played.
Is it, you go around... Goat Simulator sort of thing, but it's like the deer hunter, and you're the deer.
Yeah, but you're the deer. You can turn humans into deer.
Oh, no.
Where they'll get little antlers popping out their heads.
A deer vampire?
It's worse than that. So when you destroy things with your hooves...
What do you call a deer with no eyes?
And people... you find weapons.
No idea.
Like Uzis or shotguns or AK-47s. And when you pick those up, those attach to your head.
Uh-huh. It makes sense.
And as you move through certain levels of mayhem, the police are called. And the police start off with a sheep. And so these little sheep come out of the police station.
What do you call it?
Police hats
a deer with no eyes and no legs.
And then the next level... of police are polar bears with police cars on their backs. Then there's bunnies with sniper rifles. And then there's a corgi, a giant corgi that comes along, a police dog that has sheep for its feet, bunny ears for its legs, and polar bears and police cars for its shoulders. And then there's a flying giant fish. There's a koala with laser, giant koala with laser eyes on the building. And then you go to the future, where there's even more. You go to the future. That's all this, the present.
This sounds like a bad acid trip.
Yeah.
It's actually really good fun. It is a really strange game. Worth a try. It's on, as always, it's on Game Pass.
It looks like a Roblox mod sort of thing.
It could very well be.
Yeah.
Very well be. There's a cow that you can shoot. When you run, your deer gets up on its hind legs and looks like a muscle man running along. You can play basketball, throwing cows through the hoops.
All seem perfectly reasonable, Phil.
Yes, some easy points. So a bit of weirdness. I'm sure people love it. And then finally, I've played another little game, which is definitely a Phil Olsim, a little game called Before We Leave. And again, on Game Pass, this is a not simulation, it's a village building game set in the future where Earth has been left and you're a colony that's landing on a planet that has lost all its technology. It's about rediscovering the technology that you've lost with various ships, collecting resources, building things up, different buildings. You need a warehouse to store things. It's in a sort of, I'm trying to think of the word. There's a map. The map that you're on is like hexagons. So each hexagon has a separate, it could be rocks, it could be trees. And you build on those. You have to build roads and so on. I've played it for a couple of hours. It's looking okay at the moment. I'll be going back to it. You have a tech tree that you have to research and move along. Very much a switch off your mind sort of thing and just work through it. Good little game, again on Game Pass. So if you like that sort of thing that you can just dip in very easily, very short tutorial, it's good fun.
Good.
Okay. That's me done.
All right. Awesome. Robin, anything else besides Halo Infinite that you wanted to discuss, or was that pretty much it for you?
That's it.
Okay. For me, a lot more Phoenix Point Behemoth Edition. I really like this game now with the upgrade that they did for the next generation consoles. It loads faster. So I think that was something that the previous iteration, it had some longer loading times, which I think frustrated some people. It's not nearly as buggy as it was as well. I think they've done some nice fixes there. And then all of the new additions in terms of the DLC that get included with the Behemoth Edition just really round the game out better. And so it feels like there's a lot more pathways and options for different types of upgrades, where as before it felt a little more limited. I have just been...
Well, I'm glad something's been built back better. So that's good.
Yes,
it sucked me in well.
It ran like a dog on the 1X.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think it will run better on the 1X currently, but I know at least with the Series X and the Series S, the load times, and for the PS5 as well, I believe it's out there as well, those load times have definitely benefited.
Yeah.
And like I said, I have yet to have it crash on me, which it would crash. It also had a very weird bug where you would basically load up certain characters and the deploy squad icon wouldn't come up. You'd have to quit out of the game to get it to come up. That's all been fixed. So just the overall experience, better. Visually, it looks great. It runs pretty smooth now. So anyway, just very happy with it. And this kind of game, I love my turn-based tactical games, and this just has sucked me right in, and I've been just thoroughly enjoying it. So there we go.
Excellent.
All right, let's move on then, and let's get to talking about some news and predictions.
Here is the fucking news.
So here's a question, gentlemen. Do we want to go predictions first, or should we do news first and then predictions? Which let's have a consensus here. Which way do you want to go on this one?
Let's go, Brandon.
All right, news first it is. This week at CES, CES was held this past week. That is the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Sony came out and basically dropped the curtain on the specs for the PSVR 2. So that is targeted for launch by end of 2022. They said it'll have a mix of AAA games as well as social games that are planned for it. Some of the detailed specs that we know about for the new PSVR, has a 4K HDR OLED screen for each eye with 110 degrees of field of vision. The refresh rate has been increased to 90 and 120 hertz, so that should help with motion sickness, I believe, in particular. It says that it will have headset sensory feedback and 3D audio. No idea what this means, but supposedly they were saying you'll feel the wind. And if they have little air things blowing on you, I'm going to kind of crack up. It does have eye tracking. It will come with the Sense controllers. So they're getting rid of the wands officially. We'll have these Sense controllers that have haptic feedback and adaptive triggers. And then finally, the biggest advancement for it is it will have only one cord as opposed to the 50 million the previous version had.
Okay.
So it looks like they've made a lot of nice quality improvements. I think it'll still have the same headset design, which was very comfortable. And I think most people agreed it was probably the best in terms of the setup. Different, VR headsets, it had the nicest ergonomics.
Hmm.
So that is coming. And then on the heels of that, they also showed off and announced Horizon Call of the Mountain, which is going to be a VR experience game set in the Horizon Forbidden West universe, but for VR, the PSVR 2. And so that will be coming at some point. They didn't give an exact date on it, but I'm pretty sure it's going to launch with it. Seems,
what did you think about the Uncharted trailer for the game or the movie? Are they going to make a mess of
it? I did not see the Uncharted trailer yet.
Oh, that's all nice.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like the cast.
Really?
In terms of who they casted for which roles.
Spider-Man and Sully.
I've never played the games.
Oh.
So.
Hey, you can play them on YouTube, Phil.
That's very true. Yeah. And that's probably where I'll watch this.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. So our Uncharted character will always be Nathan Fillion to me. That's always who I picture as an Uncharted guy, which is this chap, your man Tom Spider-Man's a bit younger, I suppose.
They could have cast Nathan Fillion as the older guy. I think that would have been.
Yeah, that would have been clever.
Quite good.
Yeah. But hopefully they won't make a mess of it. I hear the Matrix.
But so
is
who do they cast as Sully?
What do you call him? From Italian Job.
Matthew Damon?
No.
Matt Damon? The brothers.
Matt Damon. The
brothers. What's his name?
What do you call him?
Not Ben Affleck.
No. The other one that looks like Ben Affleck. Darn it. He was the main character from...
Not Tony Osborne.
Long haired.
Tony Osborne would be fantastic.
Wahlberg.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg. So Sully in my head is an older guy.
Yeah.
Like an actual older guy, like a wise, cagey old veteran. Nathan Fillion would have been a great call for Sully.
Is this the age thing again?
Mark
Wahlberg is probably the same age as us. He's about 50. So,
yeah, but,
you know,
but
if he didn't dye his hair.
He needs to be older, more grizzled.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there you
Mark
go.
Wahlberg, I would have pictured being more.
More Nathan
Drake.
Well,
Nathan Drake, for the record. It's Nathan Drake. Nathan Fillion is an actual actor. Just want to make sure we're on the same page.
No, you're making shit up now. Don't be
okay.
Fucking
fair enough. Anyway, Game Pass had a big announcement. It is kind of amazing what they've been doing with Game Pass. You do wonder when the train will stop, but they announced that Rainbow Six Extraction will be coming day and date to Game Pass. That is, of course, the new Rainbow Six iteration from Siege. And then also looks like that Ubisoft Plus, which is currently only available on PC, will be coming to Game Pass as well. So we're not quite sure.
Yeah, at the moment they're saying it's separate.
Yeah, it might be a separate add-on cost. We're not positive. Yeah. It is not fully fleshed out. I was kind of questioning this as well. Is it going to be a separate subscription, or is it just kind of what they did with EA Play, which kind of makes sense now we're talking through it. They're coming out. It'll be a separate cost, but you can get it on your Xbox. And then eventually, who knows, maybe they roll it into Game Pass as well, kind of like what they did with EA Play for Ultimate. But either way, some big news on that front. And then a couple other things, and I'll get to the Twitter one in a second, but E3 for this year is going to be staying a virtual event. They made that announcement just this past week. So it will once again just be all, you know, video presentations, which, I mean, I think for us, it doesn't matter. For us, it's the same thing because it was always a virtual presentation to us. But for the industry, I think it is a little curious just in terms of how E3 moves forward, because I do feel like there's a contingency of the media that are more than happy that this is the case and moving forward, they'd love to see it stay virtual. But I have heard a number of different media types that are talking about kind of missing that in-person connection. And maybe, just maybe, it'll be the Game Developers Conference that could pave the way for E3 coming back to being in person, because that is happening in March. And supposedly right now that's still in person. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how that all pans out.
In person is so important. We're missing out as human beings.
We've got to get back to not being afraid to shake a hand.
Where's the game? Where's GDC being held?
GDC traditionally is in San Francisco. Okay. I wonder if that is the case this go round, only because San Francisco is not exactly the most in-person friendly environment, similar to New York.
From Walgreens,
move to Orlando instead.
It could very well be. Last but not least, and I came across this on Twitter, and it was a couple of different Days Gone developers had kind of come out with some vocal kind of comments. John Garvin, who was a former Days Gone developer, had made the comment, Metacritic determines for Sony if a game gets a sequel or not, not its sales. And then Jeff Ross, who also is a former Days Gone developer, had come forward saying, at the time I left Sony, Days Gone had been out for a year and a half and sold over 8 million copies. It's since gone on to sell more and then a million plus on Steam. Local studio management always made us feel like it was a big disappointment. Now, one thing that to clarify, there's been an update to his figures. I guess the 8 million figure was actually trophy count. So not necessarily sales related, but either way, it is interesting that both of these developers had come forward basically kind of saying that the sales wasn't necessarily the determining factor for them feeling like the game was a success or not. And it's interesting that Metacritic seemed to be the barometer of success versus actual sales numbers.
God, I mean, if Ubisoft did that, we would never have another Just Dance ever, you know? So. Come on. Well, that's okay, well, that's...
Yeah, I thought we had kind of gotten away from the time of companies using Metacritic for bonuses and things of that nature, but it seems like Metacritic still definitely plays a part in how Sony is viewing. And I think, to be perfectly honest, Square Enix may be in the same boat. How they view a success of a game, because, you know, I think we've heard multiple times Square Enix talk about games that were disappointments, yet you hear the sales figures of like a Hitman game or Tomb Raider, and they actually sold pretty decently. Mm. And it's kind of like, well, how is that a failure? But maybe it's from a Metacritic perspective as opposed to just sales. I don't know. Anyway, so that was the interesting news tidbits from this past week. But even more interesting is our predictions for 2022. So I asked you guys to think about our predictions, think about what we wanted to say from a bold and crazy perspective, as well as something more concrete, something more that you think is more realistic. And so we've all come up with a few different predictions. Kim gave us a few as well. So I'm going to just go through hers real fast, and then we'll all to kind of go round robin with our predictions.
What, sorry? What?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Aliens Colonial Marines 2013 sold 1.3 million in 2013. And it sold an awful lot more. Absolute more since then. So
absolute failure. Kim stated a couple realistic and a bold and then another realistic one. So she said we will get an update to Dragon Age 4. She's pretty vague on this one. So I think this is pretty realistic. I think we certainly will hear about Dragon Age 4 this year.
Okay.
She also said we will get an update for Fable. However, she said it's just going to be a smattering more than what we've gotten so far. So basically, they'll kind of show us a little something more, but it's not going to be terribly much more. She said Steam Deck is actually a tiny transformer device. That was her crazy prediction for Steam. And then finally, PS Now Spartacus will get an actual name and a release date this year. Huh. So that is her predictions. All right, let's start off with Phil, and we'll each just go around. You could do whatever prediction you want, whether it be bold or realistic. But we'll kind of just start with Phil, then we'll go to Robin, then we'll go to me, and then back to Phil. Kind of
okay.
The whole round robin.
Yeah, what? Sorry?
I thought he'd lost some weight.
No, yeah, I've seen him. He's come back from Florida. Consistently round.
Right.
Bacon so, chocolate, Phil. Bacon chocolate.
Big sense of unease. I think if I'm going to go straight to the frigging sweeties now. Damn it, you're making me a vague sense of unease. Can has been
shaming
opened.
You. Right, so my first one's a very easy and simple one. Xbox Series S, and they'll release a black version.
Racist. Interesting. All right. I could kind of see that. Will it have upgraded specs, Phil, or do you think it's just a Series S just in black?
A Series S just in black. Maybe with a larger hard drive. Yeah, Series S in black.
I don't know. I think a black Series S would matter.
No, I can't believe you went there, Robin. All right, Robin, you're next. Let's go. What say you?
I would say that Sony's Game Pass type thing, it'll either be above and beyond our wildest dreams of what Microsoft has done, and they'll pull something out of the bag, which will surprise everybody and it'll blow us all away and how wonderful it is. And look at those, that it puts the Microsoft thing, it makes it look like it's expensive or crap, or else it'll be an absolute damp squib. And I actually think it'll just be a bit of a fart. It'll just be okay. I don't think it'll be anything. Yeah. No, I think the Microsoft thing has years ahead of developing that service. So
you're saying there's not going to be any in between. It won't be basically an equal competitor. It's either going to be awesome.
We have that.
Best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah,
or it's going to be
a wee thing. It'll,
more of the same.
Yeah, more of the same. Yeah, you sort of have it. It'll be okay, but it'll not have the depth or breadth of the Microsoft one. Sorry.
Okay. All right. And I am... I've captured all of these, by the way, so we will revisit this next year. Something we should have done last year. We didn't do it. I don't even think we had a prediction show last year. So we'll revisit this come 2023 and see just how good we did. I predict that Microsoft will indeed announce and acquire WB Games in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
That we will see that actually come to fruition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Phil, what's next on tap for you?
They'll finally get xCloud onto TVs. Mm-hmm. I know they're working with Samsung, but it'll only be on new models, new top-of-the-range models, forcing us to buy new ones again. To be honest, it's a big thing for me. Getting xCloud onto TVs would be huge for me. Just allowing me to play elsewhere in the house without having any sort of connection. So I can play in my office on using my laptop and xCloud. Obviously, xCloud on the Xbox itself is brilliant because I can quickly dip into games. I don't have to install it, and it works really, really well. Having it actually on a TV would be fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm sort of there as well, because that was one of mine, where I'd say like Netflix or Amazon or another partner will partner with a TV manufacturer to put hardware on board. I was thinking maybe xCloud is there, and you know, I'm thinking about people that don't have that infrastructure, that hard connection, that really good connection, because I can't stream your stuff that you're talking about here. It's too choppy for me at the moment anyway. So, you know, how big would it be to throw an extra hard drive and a bit of hardware in there, like a onboard Steam Deck or Razer technology in there to play PC games even? That were, you know, but there's definitely going to be some, because I mean, every TV now has apps of every shape, form or description. And as is the technology and the parts become cheaper, imagine still buying a TV, even if it had PS4 or Xbox One hardware in it somehow or another. That would be cool. That would still bring in so many casual gamers. You know, and with higher speeds internet, you know, if the Wii hard drive in it, download it while you go, or xCloud it, like Xbox is doing right now. Yeah. You've got a choice.
Yeah. I think Netflix are good. Netflix are bringing out their own gaming.
It's already there, Phil. Yeah. I mean, when you look at Netflix on your phone, there is a selection of games free.
Oh, right.
But they are Android or Apple games on my Android phone. Right. They're there already. Now, they're crappy, but they're already dipping their toe in the water with that. So it's a thing.
Okay. All right. Robin, what about you?
Well, sorry, because that was one of mine as well. But I'll add another one here if you want to.
Okay.
Talk about a black Xbox S. I'm talking about a PS5 Mini. And I think a PS5 Mini is going to be a bit more realistic in size. It's going to be about the size of a PS4, call it a Mini. And we'll have that for autumn next year. And that'll be like a relaunch, or now COVID will be almost gone sort of thing. God, famous last words. I think a smaller PS5 is definitely required.
Yeah. I can see that. Man, this year, that's bold. Only from the standpoint of, it seems like they're still struggling just to get PS5s out. So
yeah but PS5 when, okay, well, how do we set the world on fire? Maybe they need to do something like that to relaunch.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe they use different chips. You know,
that would be interesting.
Architecture that's actually available.
Yeah. We boost in the smaller.
All right, for me, Nintendo. I don't usually do a lot of Nintendo stuff, but I will say Nintendo will come out with an actual proper Zelda game for 2022. Nobody's heard about it yet. It will be the big game, though, for Nintendo, and it will be proper Zelda, not some mini game side off type thing. It'll be a full, big, robust Zelda game. All right, Phil, what about you? What's next?
I think this year we're going to see, despite Microsoft's promises and everything else, I think we're going to see an increasing number of games this year being Series S and X only. I think.
Okay.
Originally they were saying, you know, all games would work on the old Xbox One and the Series X, the Xbox One X. I think that'll disappear fast. You know, we're already seeing it with Flight Simulator and quite a few of the other announced games.
And just so for clarity, though, you're talking about coming from Microsoft. So Microsoft developed games would be,
I think not just obviously Microsoft, third party. Third party as well. And I think the way they'll get out of it, or not out of it, but they'll be able to say you can play it on xCloud on your Xbox One.
Absolutely. No, that makes sense. That's actually a pretty damn good prediction, because I think you're on something there. Robin, what about you? What magic ball, tell us, what do you predict?
Well, very, very shortly, I am expecting to take delivery of a Steam Deck. And I'm actually quite looking forward to my Steam Deck. And I think it will have a bit of a rocky start when it gets up and going. And it'll be a pain in the butt, and it won't quite work quite properly. But I think Valve will get themselves into gear by the end of the year, and it will be pretty much the de facto handheld game for way to play games. I know I thought, was it going to be the absolute and perfect handheld? Well, no, because the Switch is there. The Switch is probably due an upgrade. I was just thinking about how long I've had my Switch now. It must be 4 years. And I know they had a mini upgrade, but I really do think the Steam Deck is going to be a... If it does what it says on the tin, it's really going to be... You're going to see them everywhere. It'll be... Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to a Steam Deck.
Steam Deck, yeah. I ordered that thing.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that it's coming. So, all right, okay.
So Steam February Dick. Is when the Steam Deck... it's Australian. And
South African.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be
Steam
good.
Dick.
I'm looking forward to it. Be interesting to see how many people. All right.
I'm going to do my best Karnak impression. I predict Google will drop all internal development, whether it be for games or actual improvements to the Stadia service.
Yeah.
Wow.
It will basically just be on autopilot moving forward.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we're going to see anything new for it, as in newly developed. There were supposed to be AAA titles coming out. I don't think we're going to see those.
It's funny, Rob, we've been struggling around for years with streaming services, and no one's just got it quite right. And I still don't think infrastructure is quite right yet. But there's maybe enough good infrastructure there now to start making money out of a device like this. And I think if we go back to what Phil had said, and what I touched on, that this technology integrated into TV hardware is a way to get people to upgrade TVs, which they never thought they needed to do for this sort of stuff. You know?
I will be curious to see your take on streaming tech after you get your gigabit internet.
Yeah. I think the one thing with streaming tech at the moment, and I think the big leap for them will be to get to 4K.
Okay.
If they can achieve 4K,
really?
through streaming, then I think it's
Well, I mean, they've achieved it. It's important to note they have achieved it, but they just haven't achieved it with a level of stability, it runs smooth, it doesn't have any lag, that kind of thing. But I do agree with you, Phil. I think they get there, they probably have crossed that threshold. Phil.
We've already talked about Ubisoft Plus or Ubisoft Plus, and I think he'll probably end up on Game Pass and Sony, like EA Play did. We talked about that. My last one is I don't think we're going to see any actual gameplay for the new Elder Scrolls this year.
Ooh.
I think it's all going to be, there's not going to be any actual gameplay. It's all going to be very nice, pretty, not even cutscenes, but like we've seen recently, Rolling Countryside, etc., etc. I don't think we're actually going to see any gameplay.
Okay. All right. Part of me would be shocked if we didn't, but then again, maybe they say they don't need to show anything off, and so they just take another year. That's pretty bold. Robin, do you have any other predictions?
Wild one, GTA 6. We'll see it by the end of the year.
Yeah, launch right. In 2023.
Okay. Yeah.
So I have two. One prediction that's kind of split up into two, but basically that is that the new PSVR 2 will launch in October, the latter part of October, and it'll come in at $399. I don't think they'll go over that price, but they will not go under that price point. And that'll be basically the price of another console.
Don't get it. Really don't. Seriously, it'll have to integrate really well with the PlayStation 5 because Oculus, Oculus has it now.
Why would you spend that amount?
To have a lead.
To have a lead when you need a console to play it as well, when you could just get Oculus or, you know, or even one of the others.
Sorry.
I hear what you're saying, but the everything I see with that tech, I think it's going to be an expensive device. Mm-hmm. So I can't see them coming under $399.
Oh yeah, yeah. I agree. I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be any cheaper. Right. But I can't see the market for it.
But it only has one wire, guys. Come on. and last, and this is the bold prediction for me, the crazy one. Both Gran Turismo and the new Forza Motorsport game will come out this year, and they will both score below 80 on Metacritic.
Fuck off.
Overall. And it will be because reviewers basically say, it looks great, but it's just more of the same.
Yeah.
They didn't say that for Forza Horizon, the new one.
No, I know. And so that was the interesting thing, is I think there's going to be a bit of a backlash because of that. Because Forza Horizon, you know, they everybody gave it very high scores, but then there was a little bit of rumbling of, you know, it looks fantastic, but it is still more Horizon. And so I just wonder, and I feel like GTA, Gran Turismo and Forza Motorsport could fall into the same boat.
GTA's are you guys still playing it?
No. Well, then again, I have not time for anything, but yeah, will I have the enthusiasm to go back to it? A bit now and again, but not to the same extent as before. The passion isn't there. I don't think GTA will have that, because you have a brand new set of four characters. We don't need to go anywhere near the old characters. They'll have cameo roles. You know, you don't need to go back to them at all. You know, it could be six new characters or one. It could be back to one. I think that they've got this massive world that they can make up whatever story they want to. It'll be original. And I think the Forza Motorsport, there's a hunger for a sim, and it'll maybe not the Horizon people will not understand it, because it's, and the simmy people will just suck it up. So
were you talking Gran Turismo, Greg? Yes, or GTA.
I was talking Gran Turismo and Forza. Sorry.
Okay. I thought you said just Grand Theft Auto.
No.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. So both driving simulator games from Sony and Microsoft. We'll kind of get this. I'll call it the Forza Horizon backlash of them saying they look great, but it's just more racing.
Yeah.
So.
No, well, I'm ready.
I don't necessarily feel that in my heart, but that's my bold, crazy prediction. There you go.
Unless Gran Turismo works well, very well, with their new VR.
Oh, that should have been one of my predictions. Damn it. I bet you have to believe they will have that, some kind of integration. I think Sony is going to go hard at VR again, and they're going to dedicate a lot of resources to it, which may or may not please people. It'll be interesting. Because what happens if you can get the PSVR 2, but you can't get a PS5?
Not me.
All right. Well, that is the predictions. They are locked in. Got them. I've saved them.
We'll see.
Exactly. All right. Where are we at?
New releases between the 9th and the 15th of the month. You've got Monster Hunter Rise on the PC on January 12th, Astroneer on Switch on January 13th, God of War for the PC, that's a big one, God of War on the PC on January 14th, and that's your lot.
Sony will never put their games on PC. What are you talking about?
No way. Never.
All right. Hey, we should have made this announcement last week. We forgot to. The Minecraft realm, Phil, is moving. Yeah. Is it not? It's disappearing.
Yeah. So at the end of the month, it started to get really quiet. And we'd have, you know, one or two people on going, you know, for an hour or so a month. So we've decided that we're at the end of this month, 31st of January, it's going to stop, but it will return with a new realm. So starting from scratch. As always, I'll keep the account so that it's there for when we want to bring it back. But we are looking at introducing a completely new realm with functionality that wasn't in the existing realm because it was so old, and some of the updates we weren't able to apply. So so I think that will give people as well more impetus to play again, I think, with a new realm starting from scratch, because the, you know, it was some of the stuff, or a lot of the stuff that was in there was absolutely amazing, and I don't know how people created some of them. It must have taken them days, not weeks, to create it. But everywhere you looked, there was a building.
I will freely say, I've never been a Minecraft person. However, I've always been impressed by what people create in Minecraft. It is truly amazing. And certainly what we had created within our own Minecraft realm was pretty amazing as well. So that will be fun to see the next phase, if you will, of Minecraft, the game that just continues on. Yeah. Don't forget, everybody, Wednesday night for Halo Nights. That will be happening this Wednesday. We'll kick it off, and we'll start at 9 p.m. in the UK, which is roughly 1 o'clock-ish on the West Coast. And if you're anywhere in between there, including in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, well, figure it out for yourself. All right. We don't have any more victories achieved because we put that on pause for now. We're trying to figure out what we want to do with this.
Yep. Pause it.
Yeah. But we will bring something back at some point. We're just trying to figure out what that next new iteration of that will be. So in the meantime, I guess we could just kind of wrap things up, unless there's anything else the two of you would like to cover.
No, I'm good. No?
I'd like to do like a cover of Stairway to Heaven sometime. That would go well.
A podcast. No, absolutely.
Release it for
charity. I was never the biggest Led Zeppelin fan. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Moby Dick?
Yeah. It's okay. Small bits. I'm just not like the, oh my God, Led Zeppelin's the greatest band ever. My wife is that way, which drives me insane. But I'm much more a Metallica, AC/DC person. Although funny, I always thought for some reason AC/DC was a UK-based band.
They are?
No, I believe they are an Australian band.
Canadian, is he not? Yeah. Or is he one of
the guys? He's Australian. The singer,
they're Australian.
And he's from Australia. What do you call him? Him? Anyway. School boy?
They started in Australia. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. Sorry. Are they from Australia? Fuck me. Okay. They were friggin' criminals.
This is the Australian episode.
Yes, it is. With subtitles. all right. Let's close this out. We thank you guys. If you have been listening to us for all this time, I know we had Boomer in the chat. I know we had Lord in the chat. Cheers to you, fellas.
There you go. Sorry. I got it correct. AC/DC are an Australian rock band formed in Sydney in 1973 by Scottish-born brothers Malcolm and Angus Young.
Yes.
So they're from Scotland. They were born there, and they went to live there in Australia. So there you go.
Australia.
Sorry.
All right. Anyway, thank you for being here. Come back next week. We'll be here again. We also have Facebook. We have Twitter. We're all over the social media space as much as possible, annoying you to no end. Phil, I'm going to start this off with you. Any shout-outs you want to toss out?
shout-outs to you guys, obviously. Shout-outs to Kim. The kids running around her feet. Hopefully she's hasn't put them in the paddock with the horses and left them there. Mark, who's Mark? Where is Mark, actually? Where is Mark?
Mark has been laying low. He's doing well. Holidays can be a little bit tougher time for Mark. Yep. I'll put that there. So he is, we've been chatting back and forth, and so I'm going to coax him off back onto the show one of these days. But for now, he had a pretty bad migraine happening today. So he elected to pass on today's show.
Hello, my fellow podcast family. I've got all my sisters with me.
And yes, to the couple of listeners to OCD&D. No, it was more than the couple, actually. We will be getting back together to record. And it'll be not a new format, but a new name and all exciting, so watch OCSNM. This space. OCSNM. Yeah. Robin.
I'm not actually quite sure in Halo Infinite what the podcast lettering is, because I set mine up as OCD today, but I see OCP today, but I see Greg has done OCPD, and Phil, you've set it up as something else. Yours is
OCP one, I think.
One. So
what is it officially? And we'll change it. What should it be?
I don't think we actually have an official one. I was trying to do OC Pod.
You can't do
and
that
couldn't, because it was four letters. Then I was like, well, OCPD, OC Pod without the O. OCP? I don't know.
OCP? Orange County Police Department.
Yeah, OCP. Omni Computer Products. Fuck them. Yamaha. Newhart. Happy New Year, everybody. I hope you have a fantastic 2022. And thank you for the chat, boys, tonight. Everybody stay safe, game safe, and we'll have fun next time.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to the two of you. Thank you for being on the podcast. Love you guys dearly. Shout out to the community. This time of year, it can be tough. And I know we have a lot of community members that are going through some tougher times. Big shout out to Gamex. I know he's been going through some tough times as well. Stay the course, peeps. If you need to talk to anybody, reach out to us. I make the joke. I always say reach out to Robin. But honestly, reach out to any of us. We will absolutely lend our ear to you.
Or
we want everybody
nice
to.
Beaver.
Yeah. And that too. Nice beaver. Yes. And shout out to Pete, by the way. Big shout out to Pete. The reason why he actually isn't on the podcast today, he heated up his cock cage and burned himself.
Don't joke. That's a thing. Frig me. Take months for the scars to heal of mine.
I know. Anyway, thoughts and prayers, Pete, for a speedy recovery. We're sorry. But yeah. Anyway. All right. That's it. We're done. Let's go have a great 2022, everybody. Get some gaming in. Get some entertainment in. It's got to be better.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.